As was announced, we're going to be having singing this morning. Different men will be leading. Next is going to be Fred. He will lead a couple songs, and then Kyle will follow Fred.
Number 107 in the supplement. Number 107, humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Sing for joy to the Lord. Shout to the rock of our salvation. Know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. Come, let us bow our hearts in worship. Kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our great God, for He is our great God. So humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up. And He will lift you up. Next song will be number 104 in supplement. Number 104, Unto Thee, O Lord. Unto Thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto Thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. None that wait on Thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let triumph over me. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth. Be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me.
Which song do you have first, Jeff? There we go. Number 360, please. Standing on the Promise is number 360. And let's sing the first and last verse.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing. promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally, my love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Number 276. And sorry, Jeff, do you have all the verses on that? Okay, let's just do all the verses. 276.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
One of our leaders was not able to make it this morning, so you're going to see me again. We'll sing number 68 out of the supplement. Actually, I think it's supposed to be number 68 out of the big book. I gave you the wrong number. If you open your songbooks, go back to the way things used to be done, go to number 68 in the large book. Let us sing.
Lord, we come before Thee now, at Thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on Thee our souls depend, in compassion now descend. Fill our hearts with Thy rich grace, turn our lips to sin.
earth that all may seek and find Thee, O God, supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free. Let us all rejoice in Thee. Let us all rejoice in Thee.
Mark your songbooks at number 28 in the big book. Number 28 will be our song following Kyle's message this morning. Our song before that will be number 375, number 375. And we'll be singing all verses, please. Song doesn't make sense if you leave some of the verses out. Let us sing.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He leadeth me. The quiet waters by my soul.
Forevermore, and in God's home.
Thank you, Joe. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I'd like for us to talk for a moment or two about something we discussed in our adult class. I must say as I begin, though, thank you, Joe, for organizing the singing today. It gave me a little bit more time than often have. We usually have just a small invitation. Many of you probably have seen some congressional hearings in which they approach things through the use of parliamentary procedure. And if one man is speaking and maybe he still has some time, he'll say, "I yield that time to Senator so-and-so." Well, I went over in the first lesson, so I'm going to yield the balance of my time in this lesson to Brother Pope in the first lesson, if that'll be all right. Back in 1996, my wife and I moved from Birmingham to Kansas City area. And I loved books. I was interested in books. And about that time, there was kind of a new startup business that was beginning to sell books. You could order them. You didn't have to go to a bookstore and get them. A little startup business that I kind of thought, you know, that's a good idea. I might ought to invest in that. That would be a wonderful thing. Nobody had ever even heard of it before. But the little startup business was Amazon. And I didn't invest in Amazon. I almost invested in Amazon. But my bank account doesn't reflect too many almosts in it. Let's take a look in Acts chapter 26. Let's read together beginning in verse 24. In the context, as the Apostle Paul has been called before the Roman governor Festus, and Festus has called Agrippa and Bernice to listen to Paul's defense of himself, I want to call to your attention a very familiar passage, beginning in verse 24. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus, with a loud voice, said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escape his notice, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." In this reading, I call to your attention a few things. First of all, something that's not going to be uncommon for anyone that stands up for the cause of Christ and that has the courage to talk to others about their faith and their conviction. When you talk to those that don't believe in that, they may make a charge similar to that which we notice being made by Festus. What does he accuse him of? He accuses him of being mad or crazy. That doesn't make any sense. Why in the world would you believe that? Too much learning, he says, has driven you mad. We need to be like Paul and be prepared to, with dignity and grace, without losing our cool, be able to take those kinds of charges and just respond, looking to the heart of the person that makes it, trying to do what we can to answer that accusation, but change their mind. And how impressive it is that Paul does that. He doesn't get upset. He simply says, "I'm not mad. I'm speaking the words of truth and reason." And then he kind of shifts it from Festus to Agrippa to try to appeal to what apparently, as we talked about in our class this morning, he knew that Agrippa had a faith in Old Testament scripture, and he tried to draw upon that. And perhaps in our efforts sometimes, maybe we're talking to people that have some religious background, and if we can establish some common ground to try to show those areas in which we agree, and here's what those agreements ought to lead us to conclude, we'd be doing the same thing that Paul did in this instance. But as I mentioned in the illustration about Amazon, I want us to notice, because Agrippa makes a statement there. And we talked in our adult class about whether we're to understand this as a statement of his actual condition, or as some have thought it perhaps to be sarcastic or ironic, that, you know, he's saying it, but he's not really almost on the edge. However you conclude that ought to be understood, I want you to think about the practical ramifications of this. Because Agrippa is not the first person that has ever been in a position in which he has heard the gospel presented. He was aware of the things that were going on in this region, aware of the things that had happened with the faith in Jesus Christ, and apparently believed the Old Testament prophets and should have recognized how it was all falling in place and pointing to Jesus. If he meant it in a serious manner, I want us to think about that, because there may be some in our audience this morning that are in a very similar kind of condition to Agrippa. You know the Bible. You have heard what the Bible teaches. You understand what God would have you to do. And within you feel some kind of compulsion that, well, maybe I should do that. Now, sadly, Scripture does not record Agrippa ever moving beyond that almost condition any more than I ever literally invested in Amazon. But I dare say that Agrippa now wishes that he had not simply almost become a Christian, but that he would have in truth. Paul describes in the next verses exactly what one must do if they feel in that condition. And if you're here this morning and you've had that feeling that maybe I should, what's holding you back? You've got time now, but you have no promise of time in the future. Are you afraid that maybe you can't live up to the expectations of the gospel? You're never going to win a race if you don't start the race. So don't sit back and wait. Put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God and be baptized into Christ. Listen to Paul's words when he responds to Agrippa and says, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." I appeal to you this morning that you become not just almost, but altogether a Christian. Won't you come while we stand and sing?